Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Be angry and sin not. You may have heard that phrase and wondered where it comes from and what it means. Well, it's found in a passage in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're going to take a look at today. Therefore, ridding yourselves of falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, because we are parts of one another. And here it comes. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now this passage begins with the word therefore. So let's go back and see what sets this up. What is the therefore, therefore? The verses immediately preceding this tell us, you are to rid yourselves of the old self, and you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. There is a connection between being angry and not sinning and having our minds renewed. Remember Romans 12? I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Having your mind renewed requires dying to the old man or the flesh. Anger is a characteristic of the old man. Anger is the way of the world. Look around. Anger is everywhere you turn. That is due to the fact that people walk according to what their flesh demands. But being a Christian does not mean you are never angry. If you are a Christian who is constantly angry, you are probably in the flesh and need to die to self. You need to have your mind renewed. Romans 8 says, "For those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are in accord with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Walking in the Spirit is a mindset. Holding on to anger is also a mindset. We must choose which path we will take and what we will set our minds on. Then it says to rid yourselves of falsehood and speak the truth. The falsehood we need to deal with is spelled out in 1 John chapter 1. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Hiding our sin is falsehood. Expose it. Confess it. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Many Christians are in denial about their own fallenness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Stop making excuses for your sin. Stop blaming others for your sin. Own up to it, repent from it, die to it. Here is the remedy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will set you free. Now it says, to speak the truth with your neighbor, because we are parts of one another. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul talks about the body, and he says, if one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. If you lie to a brother, you are lying to yourself. In Acts chapter 5, when Ananias lied to Peter, it was equated with lying to God. That is because we are members of his body. But just speaking the truth is not enough. Earlier in this chapter, Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all things into Christ, who is the head, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. If you speak the truth that is motivated by anything other than love, you will do damage to the body of Christ. It is possible to tell the truth while being malicious. Gossip, slander, backbiting, and the like tear people down rather than build them up. We often resort to these tactics to divert attention to other people's weaknesses or failure so that our own weaknesses and failures won't be noticed. We also like to compare ourselves to other people in hope that it will make us look better. Remember the Pharisee who said, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, crooks, adulterers, or even this tax collector over here. He imagined that by pointing out failures of others, he would look better. Meanwhile, the tax collector cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus set the record straight. The tax collector, not the Pharisee, was justified. This does not justify being angry with yourself. Sometimes I am my own worst critic, and when that happens, I wind up being my own worst enemy. Remember the prodigal son? When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough bread, but I am dying here from hunger? I will set out and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired hands. No doubt, he rehearsed his penitent speech all the way home. But when the father saw him, he didn't get to finish it. The father's love overruled the son's self-flagellation. Hebrews says, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. If God is not angry with you, what gives you the right to be angry with you? Now we come to the line, be angry and yet do not sin. How do I do that? It tells us, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Unresolved anger quickly becomes unforgiveness, which ultimately becomes bitterness. Hebrews tells us a root of bitterness defiles many. This has two manifestations. First, if you allow bitterness in your heart toward one person, it will spread, and soon you will be angry with others. If it goes unchecked, you will become one of those people who is mad at the whole world. You've seen them, you know them. They walk around with a scowl on their face, cursing about everyone and everything. Their hearts are hard, bitter. Second, other people will pick up on your bitterness, and they will become offended on your behalf. Oh, secondhand offenses are nearly impossible to resolve because it involves a third party, and you may have no way of reconciling the issue. I caution you to not buy into other people's offenses, and don't recruit others to buy into yours. Unresolved anger can also lead to depression. I have counseled people who have depression, and when we deal with the root problem of anger over past offenses by forgiving others, They are set free. Next, do not give the devil opportunity. Often lost in our dealing with anger is the reality of spiritual warfare. Only after addressing human relationships like husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and servants, does Paul say, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." People are not your enemy. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He is constantly accusing us and others, stirring up strife, causing resentment and division. It's the old divide and conquer strategy. If he can get Christians to fight with each other, we will forget that our battle is with him. Now we come to an interesting juxtaposition. The one who steals must no longer steal, but rather he must labor, producing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. I think Paul is using this as a for example kind of exhortation. Obviously, not all of us were thieves in our past. Thou shalt not steal is only one of the Ten Commandments. Each of us has that one area we struggle with on a personal level. To the thief, repentance, or turning in the opposite direction, would mean stop taking and start giving. Whatever your besetting sin might be, part of dealing with anger is turning from past selfish habits that are destructive to new disciplines that benefit others. Next up, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen. Anger does not produce words that help others. On the contrary, anger usually expresses itself in hurtful words, helping no one. It goes on to say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Unchecked anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, all grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Just a few pages after God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. The earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. So the Lord was sorry that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I don't doubt that today God looks at the earth full of hatred and violence and is grieved in his heart. I think it must grieve him to see his children angrily fighting with each other. Finally, it says, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Here is the key. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But what about righteous indignation, you might say? I am angry about injustice in the world. Well, my guess is that sometimes we claim this exemption because we want to justify our own actions and anger, which may very well be unjustifiable. This occurs frequently in the political arena. We are quick to assume an us-them posture. You know, I don't believe God is a Republican or a Democrat. We are also prone to do this in theological debate. God is no more a Calvinist than he is an Arminian. Our understanding is so limited. Our minds are subject to our fallenness. Our view is so limited. We cannot see all that God sees. We cannot know all that he knows. Still you say, well, Jesus got angry. Okay, let's see what Jesus got angry about. I will look at three examples. The first is one that is often cited, the cleansing of the temple. Jesus went into the temple and turned over tables and pulled out a whip. He was angry. It actually happened twice. First in John chapter 2 at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, and then he did it again at the end of the Gospels, as recorded in Matthew 21 and Luke 19. In John's account, Jesus said, "Stop making my Father's house a place of business." In Matthew and Luke's version, he adds, "My house shall be a house of prayer." I wonder what Jesus would say if he walked into some of our churches today. Ministries that promise wealth, big machines that rake in cash while people starve in their own backyard. The marriage of materialism and consecration has produced a generation of spiritual orphans. Jesus was angry with religion void of sanctification. In Mark 3, he entered a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they were watching him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. When our traditions and rules become more important than seeing people healed, we are in big trouble. Jesus was angry with religion void of compassion. In Mark chapter 10, they were bringing children to him so that he would touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms, and he laid his hands on them and blessed them. This time, it was Jesus' own followers that he became indignant with, because they thought they were more important than others, because they were judging others, because they thought they were gatekeepers to relationship with Jesus, because they allowed spiritual arrogance into their hearts. Jesus was angry with religion void of humility. We are saved by grace. We sing "Amazing Grace." But God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If you are angry about the things that anger Jesus, you might have righteous indignation. If religion without sanctification, compassion, or humility makes you angry, you might have righteous indignation. James chapter 1 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God." God, forgive me for anger that is rooted in my flesh. Forgive me for anger that is rooted in lies. Forgive me for anger that is intended to deflect my guilt onto others. Forgive me for anger that has produced bitterness in others. Forgive me for anger that aligns itself with the enemy of my soul. Forgive me for anger that manifests itself in my words. Forgive me for anger that grieves the Holy Spirit. Forgive me for anger that is not about the things that anger you. Amen.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.